This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with 1+ negotiations and 1+ cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details.
Experian.
Well, hello and welcome to the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your brand new host, Jace Greer, and you might be wondering to yourself, who is this guy? When did I even subscribe to this podcast? Well, that's what I'm here to help you understand. Now, I don't know when you would have originally subscribed to this podcast, or if you're just coming upon it for the very first time right now. Either way, welcome. I am here to help you know how to be a better turkey hunter. That's the whole goal behind this whole thing. So I'm going to talk about my turkey hunting experiences. I'm going to talk to experts. We're going to learn a whole bunch about turkey hunting, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun doing it. Now, a little bit of my background. I started turkey hunting several years ago, but I only ever seemed to go a few days a year because here's a little thing about me. I have been in a family band for my entire adult life, and making music is what I do, and it's what I love, and it's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. So because of that, a lot of times we would not be home for turkey season whatsoever. And I was not confident enough to try and hunt out of state or anything like that. So I would stick to hunting one or two days a year towards the end of the season. And, well, the turkey hunting in Missouri towards the end of the season is not the world's best turkey hunting. People really love their turkey hunting around here, and those birds are scared. So fast forward a few years to a global pandemic. All of a sudden, everybody had to stay home, and the touring musician was no longer touring. So I got to experience my first full turkey season. And I really think that those days spent out in the woods chasing turkeys played a big part in keeping me sane during all of that. Now, did I know what I was doing? No. Did I get good at turkey hunting then? Also no. But did I have a ton of fun? Yes. And did I finally shoot a bird on the very last day of season? Also yes. So that's a little bit about my start into turkey hunting. And what my whole goal is with this podcast is I want to help you become the turkey hunter that you want to be. So whether you've just started, whether you've been turkey hunting a really long time, it doesn't matter. We're all just going to start at the bottom and go to the top. We're going to learn how to do this thing together. So what I thought I would do is share one of my very favorite turkey hunting stories from a few years ago. And it's a story where I was out hunting with my dad and we were able to get a bird together. And that's what I really hope to do with this podcast, is to help you get your next bird. So Dad and I had been out turkey hunting several days that season already. And the day before this story takes place, it actually started snowing on us, and Dad did not have any gloves with him because he's always doing stuff like that. And I actually have a picture of him, and he's holding like a tail fan that I had rigged up on a handle, and his hand is so red it looks like a dang tomato. It's absolutely wild. And so that day we mostly got snowed on, and it was like a wet snow that really soaks in and just chills you out, and we were going home pretty defeated that day. So fast forward to the next day, we're out there in the turkey woods, it's starting to crack first light, and we hear a few different gobbles going on. And we're unable to get close to anything as that's kind of going on there in the first, you know, the first throws of the morning. And in Missouri where I hunt, a lot of times you're going to hear that first gobble in the morning, then they're going to fly down, and you may never hear another gobble all day long. They're going to be henned up, and it's going to be pretty tricky usually. So that's pretty much what happened. The birds flew down. We didn't hear anything. So we decided we need to go start looking for them. And that's something that I just absolutely love about turkey hunting, is if you get tired of sitting and waiting, you can get up and go try and find them. And it's just really, really fun because you don't have to have that mind-numbing boredom that sometimes happens with deer season. So we were out looking for turkeys, and we spot two birds. And they are a long ways off, like probably 500 yards across this field. So I want you to picture this with me. There is a creek that is running through this property, and these birds are on the other side of the creek all the way across the field. And right about the time that we spot these birds, we hear some gobbles in the opposite direction, quite a ways off. And Dad said to me, he was like, well, what birds should we go after? Should we go after the ones we're hearing gobble, or should we go after these ones we can see? And it was kind of tricky because the ones we could see were far enough away that it was going to be a trick to get on them. And the ones that were gobbling were pretty close, but not on land that we had permission to hunt. So we talked it over, and I said, well, let's figure out if these birds we're seeing on the other side of the field, let's figure out if one of them is even a gobbler, because we weren't even sure at that time. So we're watching through our binoculars. Now, at this point in my turkey hunting career, the gear was not exactly dialed. Like, I was using a pair of my dad's binoculars. They were like 8x32s. They were like very small and not very clear, and I couldn't hold them very steady. So we're looking at this bird and looking at this bird, and finally we're able to see it gobble, you know, like how their head does when they gobble, but we can't hear it. We can only just see it. So we're like, okay, that is most likely a tom. So I decided, hey, let's go after the bird that we know is out there that's in this field, and let's try to slip up on him and see if something can happen. Now, up till this point, our success rate with slipping in on turkeys that we saw, calling them in and shooting them was like next to nothing. It almost had never even happened. So, you know, you got to keep a fair amount of optimism when you're a hunter. It's a really important thing, but you don't want it to be blind optimism either. You want to understand, okay, what are the potential failings in this plan, and how can I turn those into success instead? So one thing I love about hunting with someone else is if your plan is not a good one, it's going to come to light, the weak parts of that plan. So we talk it over. We're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get down here, cross the creek. We're going to get up and get a visual. Then we're going to go back down into the creek, and we're going to sneak around the field. So the edge of this field had trees and brush all up in it. So you could get down in that creek channel, and you could walk completely unseen. Then you could just very slowly make your way up to the edge of that brush and look out into the field. So number one, we had a huge advantage with being able to become completely concealed. In the past, I have been really bad about just going straight towards a turkey, using minimal cover, and that just doesn't work because them dang things can see way too well. So we get down in the creek bed, and we had to shed a layer because it was a classic spring morning where it was like 30 degrees that morning, and by it was probably 8 o'clock when this was going down. By then it was already 50 or 60 and the sun was shining and we're out here moving, so we had to shed some layers. So we get down into the creek, drink some water, shed our layers, and I remember thinking, like, it's crazy how calm we're taking this. Like, usually in the past when I had seen a turkey and wanted to get up on it, it was like a dead sprint right to it. And I think that's where a lot of my turkey hunting shortcomings were becoming a real issue, because if you just see a bird and just take off after it, you're not planning the best route, you're just going. And it's a good thing sometimes to slow down a little bit on a stalk. There's always that fear, oh, what if the bird disappears? But the thing is, and the thing you got to remember is, if that bird disappears while you're planning a good stalk, it is way better than not planning a good stalk and being the reason that that bird disappears. Because if that bird, it just works off on its own, you've got a chance to go back in there after that bird. So we were taking our time. We were taking it easy. We get down into the creek. We pop up, and I don't see the birds. And one thing I've since learned about stalking animals is you have to always assume that they're exactly where you left them, yet also always assume they're nowhere near where you left them. And it's a weird paradox, but if you give up too fast, you'll spook that bird every time. And I got 20 stories of me giving up too quick, and I got 20 stories of me waiting too long. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you got to get the right feel for it. So one thing I always like to ask myself before I give up on a stalk is, can I see everywhere that this turkey could possibly be? And the answer to that question is pretty much always no, because turkeys can just lay down and disappear. I've seen them do it. It's the wildest thing in the world, and they do it all the time. So what I noticed was when I was peeking out into the edge, because what would happen is I would go out first, just me by myself. Dad would hang back. You know, you don't need two people to go up just to get eyes on a bird while you're trying to make a stalk, because you get more people up there, that's more chance to spook the turkey. And, you know, all this stuff might sound like common sense to you, and if so, good job. Way to go. You win the turkey hunting award. But this is just stuff that I've learned, and maybe it's helpful. And, you know, I think that especially this time of year, it's important to remind ourselves of things that worked good and things that worked bad, so that way we can get locked in right from the start, so you don't have to make the same little mistakes every year 5 or 10 times. So anyways, like I said, I peek up there. I look into this field. I don't see the bird. But I notice, like, hey, there is a chunk of this field that I cannot see from here. And I think that turkey are really incredibly good at this. They will find a little patch of a field that somehow can be seen from everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Like, you'll be able to see that turkey and you're like, oh, easiest thing in the world. And then you start trying to get close, and you can't ever find that turkey until it can see you. Like, they know how to put themselves at a visual advantage. Like, it's almost like their life depends on it. Because it does. So, I pop back into the creek channel. Dad's like, did you see him? I said, no, I didn't see him. But there's a spot that bird could be that I just couldn't see. So we keep going down and around the creek. We're really taking our time now because we're getting into the bubble. Like, we're getting close enough where, you know, turkeys don't have the best sense of hearing, but they're not deaf. So we're trying to be quiet. We're trying to be careful, trying to take our time. So we move up to the edge again, and I peek into the field, can't see the bird. And I'm a little disappointed. I'm like, dang it. I really thought that he was going to be right here. But then I notice, like, well, still, I am not seeing quite all of this field. And by now, we've gone a long way. Like, this stalk has been several hundred yards. And I'm beginning to, like, try and remember, like, oh, well, where was he in relation to this big tree or this big tree? And that's a thing you really want to do when you're trying to plan a stalk, is you want to find a few landmarks that'll keep you in the general vicinity, because everything looks great until you start walking, and then it all changes. Well, I start to just continue to peek myself around the corner and a little further around the corner and a little further around the corner. And finally, there he is. I can see this tom and I can see the hen as well. And they're just about 100, maybe 150 yards up ahead. So I'm like, this is perfect. So I sneak back out. And I say to my dad, I'm like, hey, they're up here about 100, 150 yards. I think if we can close half of this distance and you can get up to the edge of the woods, I'll hang back a little bit and call. We ought to be able to call these birds in. So it was Dad's turn to shoot, as has been established here. Now, at this point in my turkey hunting career, I could not do a diaphragm call. I did not own a slate call. All I had was a box call that was hand-me-down from my great-grandpa. So when you think about the history of turkeys in Missouri, like, the fact that my great-grandpa was turkey hunting at all is an absolute miracle, because there were basically no turkeys in Missouri back then, just a very small population in the really thick, thick woods. So I never, of course, got to meet my great-grandpa, but I've always heard stories about him, and it's just such a cool thing to have that box call. And it sounds really good, and even a terrible caller such as myself can make a decent enough yelp. So we get back to the creek channel. We cut about half the distance. We make our way up the creek channel, and of course, everything's muddy and wet because of yesterday's sort of rainy, sort of snow, just wet, gross conditions. So we essentially just fall our way up this creek bank. We finally get up there, and there's wild carrot growing really thick. So it's just this tall, thick, super green, super wet weed, essentially. So Dad sneaks out, and he sits down right in the very edge of that, right before he's out into the field. So he's like completely walled off, yet when he pulls up his shotgun, he's got a pretty good lane to shoot, and he's well hidden. I'm just like 5 or 10 feet behind him. I wasn't a long ways behind him because I wanted to be able to see him still, and that was the play that we had. So he gets all set. He turns back to me and gives me the little, you know, clam hand symbol, like, gap, 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 give him a little call. So I give him a little call, few yelps. Now, I can't see the birds at all, but Dad can. So I'm just looking at Dad, hoping for the best, trying to read the situation, having no frickin' clue what's going on. So I decide at this point, this is a great time to record. I'm going to get out my phone and I'm going to video Dad shoot this bird. Then I'm going to jump up, run after him, and follow him up to the bird. And it's going to be a cinematic masterpiece. So I've got it all planned out. It's going to go incredible. It's going to go great. Classic things that you do when you're on the hunt and something starts to go even a little bit right. Like you're taking a victory lap in your mind and you're like, what? Why am I even doing this? Like I'm just setting myself up for disappointment, but you can't help it. So I'm videoing Dad. Now, I did not have a tripod, so videoing was a two-hand affair for me. I needed both of my hands working so that I could film this. So I'm filming Dad. I've got the box call next to me. I've got my shotgun across my lap in a safe direction. Everyone calm down. And I'm filming Dad. Now, in the video, Dad just looks like a little black dot because I was just enough far away from him that phone video was not doing the world's best job. So I'm videoing Dad. And I'm videoing him for like 3 minutes. And all the while, he's just looking. He doesn't even have his gun up yet. Well, he turns and tells me to call again. So I stop the video. I call again. Resume the video. About that time, I hear something walking in the little patch of woods that we're hidden in. And I'm like holding just completely stock still. Now, I knew from experience that a lot of times when you've got a tom that is henned up and you start calling, the hens will come in and check it out, and maybe the tom will mosey on over, but probably not. So that's kind of in my mind. And sure enough, when I finally catch sight of this thing that's making the noise, that hen was about 5 yards from me. Like, I'm not kidding. I could have probably reached out and grabbed her. And she's calling, and she is looking hard for me. And I thought to myself, it's all over. There's no hope. My only hope is that that gobbler is following Dad in, or following that hen in, and Dad's about to shoot it. But Dad didn't even have his gun up. And I was like, this is just not going well. So pretty soon, what felt like eternity later, what was probably 30 seconds later, that hen turns around and walks away out of sight. And I finally breathe a sigh of relief. Then I see Dad pull up the shotgun and I think to myself, oh my gosh, it's about to happen. So I start recording and I'm recording and I'm recording and he's holding the shotgun. And he's holding the shotgun. And he's holding the shotgun. And I'm recording. And I'm recording. He then, while holding the shotgun up with one hand, reaches around behind himself and gives me the old sign language for give him a few more yelps. Well, I didn't want to stop the video, but I needed to make those calls. So I had the box call situated in such a way where I thought, hey, if I just grab the top of it and just do a real soft little yelp, I think I can make this work. So I reach over and commence to making the sorriest sounding yelp you've ever heard in your life. In fact, if I can find the audio, I'm going to put it right here. So, I make that sound, whatever in the world that is, and then I'm back to locked in on the video. I'm videoing. The video camera has now been going for like 3 minutes. And it's time to come clean about this. I have this thing that I inherited from my mother, and it is called a terrible fear of sudden loud noises. I've had it since I was a kid. Shooting guns is not near as fun for me as it is for other people, because the sudden surprise bang scares the crap out of me every time. There's nothing I can do to fix it. It doesn't matter how plugged my ears are. It doesn't matter how much I brace myself, how much I try to be calm. It just gets to me. So I start to think about now, like, when is he gonna shoot? He's gonna shoot any minute now. Any minute now he's gonna shoot. And time keeps going and going. And right about the time I've decided nothing's going to happen here. We're not going to get this bird. It's probably walked off. I kind of look up at Dad. I don't think I was even looking at the camera at this point. And out of nowhere, bam! And I jumped so hard from the shot that I literally threw my phone end over end. And it landed on the ground like 5 feet away from me. And the last thing you see on that recording is my stupid face peeking up because the phone had landed upside down and I'm like looking down into the camera and then it stops recording. So then I pick it back up, restart the recording and run out. And by the time I make it out there to see if Dad even hit this bird, Dad's like got the bird strangled and the whole thing is over. And I ran up, you know, we high-fived and it was awesome. I didn't care about the film. I didn't care about that at all. I just wanted it for the memory. And it sure made a memory. So if you watch the audio or the video version of this podcast, I'll put that clip in there, or maybe I'll post that on Instagram or something, but it's really worth watching. You got to go watch it. And what I would really like to do now that you know how this all played out, we're going to play a little game. Now, if you're driving, you might not want to participate in this game, so you might want to just turn the volume real low or something. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to find the audio from that, and I'm going to play it for a random amount of time before that gun blast happens. And I want to see if you guys have the nerves of steel or not to keep from jumping. So we're going to have just a moment here where I'm going to play just that audio clip. You're going to hear all the little sounds of nature, and out of nowhere, the shotgun's going to go off. So let's see if you guys have the nerves to handle it. Well, did you jump? I hope not. If you didn't jump, congratulations. You're a better candidate for outdoor filming than I am. Since then, I have taken to a strict tripods only method. But unfortunately, on a deer hunt this year when I was trying to film my brother, he happened to shoot at the exact moment I touched the camera to move it one last time before he shot, and I jumped. And the film went everywhere. So it's just something I have to deal with. And if you guys have any tips on how to not jump out of your socks when someone shoots after you've been trying to be sneaky and quiet all day, I would love to hear that. So, you know, we got the bird. Dad was super happy. I was over the moon. I was definitely more excited than he was because that was the first time I ever called a bird in for somebody. And that's one of the coolest things about turkey hunting. Even if you're not the one shooting, if you got to be part of the experience, if you got to contribute to bringing that bird in, man, you feel just as happy as if you'd shot it yourself. And so as this podcast continues on, I just want you guys to know that I am rooting for you. I want you guys to have success. I want you guys to tell me about that success. And I just want us to keep in touch in that way. So let me know if you have some success. Let me know if you learned anything. Let me know if I say something horribly wrong. Just let me know, guys. I want to hear from you. And hey, do me a huge favor, please. Tell your friends about this podcast and make them listen to it. Your friends, your enemies, I don't care. That's just going to help me out a ton, and that's just going to help people become better turkey hunters. And that's what it's all about, because if we don't have good turkey hunters out in the woods, no one's going to care about the turkeys like us turkey hunters do. So please give me a shout out to all your buddies. Please give me a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can review. If you can review it, please give me a 5-star review. If you absolutely hate this and can't give a 5-star review, please just don't give one at all. Or meet me somewhere and we can fight if you're that mad about it. But I probably won't. So anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in. There's a whole lot more to come. And I'm just going to have the best time hosting this podcast. And I hope that you just have the best time turkey hunting this year. So I'll leave you with this. Go out there. Have a great time. And take somebody hunting with you this week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.